Good morning, Way Fellowship Church. It's good to see you all. Will you turn to Luke chapter 2? This morning we'll be in the Gospel of Luke chapter 2. It is a time to celebrate the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, not just His first coming, but also anticipating His second. And today's focus is on the peace of Christ, that Christ came to give us peace. Christ dwells within us and continues to give us peace. One day He will come back and there will be peace. Amen? You know, peace is elusive. Isn't it just elusive? You can get one phone call and your world can be wrecked. Right? Just an email, a text, someone says one word to you. I'm driving to church this morning. I realize I'm on empty. And my car has it shows you like how many miles you have left in it. I pulled into the gas station at zero miles left in the tank. But I'm driving there beforehand, like sweating bullets. You know, am I going to have to get out and push this car? Just something stupid like that creates anxiety and some frustration and some worry. But I don't know where you're at, so I'm just going to, before we get into the text, I want you to take just a moment and think about your own life. Do some self-reflection. Have you been experiencing the peace of Christ? Yes or no? What has been preventing you from experiencing the peace of Christ? What has been preoccupying your thoughts? What has been pushing and pressing into your heart? Is it possibly health issues? Is it relational issues? Are they worries and concerns that got your emotions stirred up? Is it something more dealing with the mind, what's happening in the world, your job? What is it that is preventing you from experiencing peace? As we listen to God's Word, I want to encourage you to press Christ into your heart and to trust that He and He alone is our peace. There's nothing in this world on the outside that is going to give us peace. There's nothing within that we're going to do in order to bring peace. But peace comes from the Creator who in Jesus Christ now dwells within us. That is where our peace comes from. Our call to response this morning, may we trust in the peace that comes only through Jesus Christ. I want to do something I normally don't do today. I want to begin by reading the whole passage. So if you bear with me, I'm going to read 1 through 20. This is our Advent passage this morning, Luke chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. The first registration took place while Quirinus was governing Syria, so everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and the family of David, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was pregnant. While they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And then she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields and keeping watch at night over their flock. Then an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the city of David, a Savior was born for you, who is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to people He favors." When the angel had left them and returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They hurried off, found both Mary and Joseph, and the baby who was lying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary was treasuring up all these things in her heart and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had seen and heard, which were just as they had been told. May the Lord bless the reading and the doing of His Word. Folks, peace, it's elusive, but it can be found, and we believe that it is found, we know experientially that it is found in Jesus and no one else. Our call to action this morning, may we trust in the peace that comes from Christ only. How do we know this peace? By knowing Jesus. By Jesus dwelling within us, by being in Him, we come to know the peace of God. And yet, as we look at this passage, we also see that peace comes from the knowledge of Christ, not just walking with Him, not just His indwelling Spirit, but cognitively a knowledge of peace that comes through Christ Jesus. And we see this in four ways this morning. We see first that peace comes in knowing God's sovereignty. It's a big word, sovereignty. What does it mean? The root of it is reign. This speaks to God's reign, His rule over all things, not just some things. In this story, we see God's sovereignty unfold. In verses 1 through 3, in those days, the decree did what? It went out from Caesar Augustus that the whole empire should be registered. This first registration took place while Quirinius was governing Syria, so everyone went to be registered, each to his own town. There's a king. There's a kingdom. It's the Roman Empire, and it's the Roman Emperor, and he decrees that everyone needs to obey and get registered. There's a census taking place throughout the entire empire. And it's the prerogative of the king, right, to decree this and to force his citizens to obey this. But folks, there was a bigger king than Caesar. And that was Jesus Christ coming into the world, a new empire that was being established. Herod is another king. We read about Herod in another passage in Matthew. It's not just Caesar the Great, but underneath him, Herod. In Matthew 2:6, if you remember this part of the Advent story, then Herod, when he realized that he had been outwitted by the wise men, flew into such a rage that he gave orders to massacre all the boys in and around Bethlehem were 2 years old and under, in keeping with the time he had learned from the wise men. See, what's happening in our passage today, Jesus is born, but outside of that story, another story is taking place. That King Herod is so concerned about this new king that he sends out a different decree, issuing an order to massacre, to slay, to slaughter every child under 2 years old, because he felt threatened, because he was jealous of this coming king, King Jesus, the Messiah. Here's what we need to see in the context of sovereignty, guys. How do we know God's peace? By trusting that He's sovereign. By trusting that He's overseen everything. By trusting that no matter what Satan is scheming, the Lord Jesus is sovereign over even Satan and his kingdom. There are two kingdoms at clash here. The kingdom of God revealed in Jesus Christ and the kingdom of Satan exemplified in Herod the Great. We see this as we went through the book of Revelation a year and a half ago. Remember this? This is Revelation chapter 12. Behind the scenes in the spiritual realms, what was happening as Herod issued these orders to destroy these children? This is what was happening. In Revelation 12, the dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that when she did give birth, it might devour her child. She gave birth, though, to a son, a male who is going to rule all nations with an iron rod. See, in God's sovereignty, He's working always. He knows everything. He stands above all. And no matter what Satan schemes through all of his earthly kings, there is one king who stands and reigns above all other kings. And no matter what they try to do, The Lord Jesus stands and rules and reigns sovereignly. Folks, do you have the peace of Christ? Evidence of that is trust. That with whatever we're seeing in the world right now, there is a King who has overcome the world. Amen? Whatever it is, nationally, globally, that we're reading on the news, we can have peace because this King reigns. Because this King steps into all historical events and maneuvers and glorifies Himself in His purposes. Again, whether it's you personally, your health, your relationships, your career, your children, your parents. Do you have the peace of Christ trusting that the Lord Jesus rules and reigns? Or have you become so caught up in you trying to step in and manipulate and maneuver and connive to make it happen? Maybe you have not been experiencing the peace of Christ this week, this month, because you've been trying to take the responsibility away from the true King. Will you trust Him this morning with that particular concern of yours? Will you trust that He reigns, that He rules powerfully? I'm going to go through three little subpoints on His sovereignty. You thought I was done with this. I'm not. You ready? Like three subpoints. The Lord reigns. He rules powerfully. We saw that in His intervention on a historical scale. So I did talk about that. But the second way in which He rules sovereignly is in His timing. Do you trust the Lord? Have you experienced the peace of Christ trusting in His timing, His sovereign timing? In Luke 2:6, we read, while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. Mallory, are you ready to give birth? Now, all the women, all the moms out there who've experienced childbirth, right? You're waiting. And as it gets closer, you're like anxious, right? Like, when will it come? And then there's a process. There's a timetable. You know, elephants have to wait 2 years to have their kid. You want to be like an elephant in 2 years? I think rabbits are like a month. Dawn rats are like 21 days. All right, like why can't we just have a baby in 21 days instead of 9 months? But here's the point. Mary's been waiting for this child to come. Waiting with lots of anxiety, right? Not just in a natural childbirth and all that, but like, you know, an angel came 9 months later, spooked her, right? Told her these things. Before that, she finds out in that moment, I guess she's pregnant, even though she'd never had sex. Like she's got a lot of social constraint and pressure on her. Cause look what it says there. It says, verse 7, I think. They were there, the time came for her, verse 5, to be registered along with Mary, who was engaged to him. Sounds good, but she was pregnant. You know, this is a social faux pas, right? She's engaged, thumbs up, but she's pregnant. The Lord works sovereignly, folks, in His timing. Not just Mary waiting, but also in the grand story, Genesis 3:15, where we first get the gospel presentation, the hope of Messiah, all the way from Genesis 3:15, listen folks, to Luke chapter 2, verse 7, when He finally comes. I mean, we're talking at least 4,000 years, depending on how you map it, that we were waiting for a Savior. In the second way, in the flip side of Advent, we're waiting for the Savior's return right now. And since He ascended, it's been 2,000 years. And there are times, I'll just be honest as a pastor, I'm like, well, where are you at, Lord? It's been 2,000 years. Are you going to come? When are you going to come? But there's this hope and there's this peace, because although he has not come yet for the second time, I know he did come the first time and his promises are true. The Lord took a while to come the first time. The Lord seems to be taking a while to come the second time. But folks, he works in his timing. And so some of you are sitting in those seats and you're wondering the same, like, when, Lord? Why, Lord? How long, Lord? And you're praying with the psalmist, how long? How long before I get past this depression? How long before I get through this physical ache? How long am I going to have to pull my hair out for my children or my parents? How long will I have to endure? How long, how much longer can I endure? But there's peace in the knowledge of Christ, in his power, and folks, as hard as it is, in his timing. And the third way in which he reveals his sovereignty to us is in his sovereign ways. When we look at this story, it's just kind of crazy. There's crazy stuff happening. The first clue is that this is Joseph of the family of David, of the line of David. And we just trace backwards to our sermon last week and we go backwards and think about all the craziness of that genealogy in Matthew 1 and how the Lord was born. All the mysterious ways in which God worked to bring Messiah to his birth. Looking forward, all the mysterious, crazy ways we went through the book of Revelation, right? How he's going to return to us one day. She gave birth to her firstborn son, verse 7, and she wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no guest room available for him. How would you like to give birth to your child, ladies, in a cave? In a dark, dank, stinky cave. Mom and dad aren't there probably. It's just you and your new spouse. And then some stinky shepherds show up, right? It's not what you want. It's not what you expected. But guess what, folks? More than half the time, it seems to me God works in ways that I don't expect him to work. I have expectations. God has other plans. I have hopes and dreams, and God has a bunch of laughs. But the Lord is sovereign in his power, in his timing, and here in his ways. Where's your peace? Have you trusted in the Lord's sovereignty, trusting that he will do what he has promised in his timing, in his ways, and in full glory, demonstration of his power? Number two, how do we receive the Lord's peace? We receive the Lord's peace in the knowledge of his humility. This sounds a little strange, but let me unpack it. In verse 7, then she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him tightly in cloth and laid him in a manger. How pathetic is that? Literally a feeding trough. Okay, a manger sounds nice and Christmassy, but it's just a feeding trough. City dwellers, that's like where you put the food in for the animals to eat out of, right? It's the doggy dish. Baby Jesus laid in a feeding trough. Why? Because there was no guest room available for him. The Lord Jesus comes, folks, in humility. In contrast, listen to what Paul says in Philippians chapter 2. Starting in verse 5, adopt the same attitude as that of Christ Jesus. What is that attitude? Here it is. Who, existing in the form of God before he was a baby, going back in time here, who existing in the form of God did not consider equality with God as something to be exploited. Instead, he emptied himself by assuming the form of a servant. He gave up everything that he had in heaven to come down, to condescend in humility and to be placed in a bunch of, and he was placed in diapers, right? The King of heaven wore a diaper for the first time in his life, put into a feeding trough to serve. He came in humility, taking on the likeness of humanity. And when he had come as a man, as he grew up, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death. In all humility, even death on a cross. For this reason, God highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will do what? Confess that Jesus Christ is Yahweh. That Jesus Christ is the Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Folks, here's the truth inherent in this point. God came near. God gave up everything to come near to us. Think about how pathetic our lives can be. Think about how much shame and guilt can just be exemplified in us. And yet, the Lord Jesus came down in love. You know, when he was walking around as a man, there would be lepers, right? And they would cry out, unclean, unclean, don't come near me. You know, it's like COVID, but a lot worse, you know, stay away, isolate. Don't come near me. But what did Jesus do? He always went near. He always went to the sick, the lame, the outcast. Folks, do you believe that the Lord loves you so much that he's actively taking steps toward you? Or somehow have you deceived yourself in saying that the Lord doesn't want to have anything to do with you? The Lord could never touch me. That the Lord has somehow turned his back on me and has walked away from me. No, folks, listen. The Lord Jesus, from his very beginning on earth, demonstrated to us his heart. And his heart is for us. And his heart moves toward us. Isn't that good news? Do you want peace in your life? Remember this truth. The Lord moves to you. With whatever you're experiencing, whatever you're dealing with, whatever sin you might find yourself in again, the Lord's very heart is the walk to you. Humbly. And number three, graciously. How do we know the peace of God? We know the peace of God in our knowledge of the Lord Jesus' grace. When we look at the birth narrative, we see the grace of God for us on full display. Not only did he come to us, but folks, he came to us with arms open wide. Yeah? He did not come to judge the first time. John 3:16. In John 3:18, he will condemn those who do not receive him. But his first coming, he came, and therefore he still comes until his second coming. He comes in grace. Look at verses 8 through 12. In the same region, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. You got to understand something about shepherds. They're just like punk adolescents. Nobody cares about them. They're in the fields with the sheep. It's stinky. It's cold. You know, seriously, is the father going to go out there? No, he's going to send the kids. He's going to send the brats. All right? The hired hands to do this. Shepherds were staying out in fields, keeping watch at night over their flock. These weren't high on society's list at this point, shepherds. But then an angel of the Lord stood before them. God appears to them. And the glory of the Lord shone around them. They're the ones. They're the recipients of God's glory in this story. It wasn't King Herod. It wasn't the rabbis and the Pharisees. God comes to a bunch of shepherd punk kids. The glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, for look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. I come to you." Folks, the Lord Jesus has come not just to a bunch of shepherds, but through his apostles, through his prophets, through the church, through the gospel now, the very word that you're holding in your hand, "I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people." How many people, folks? All nations, all ethnos, all people. This good news has been given to you if you're sitting here listening to it. What's the good news? That today in the city of David, what? A Savior was born for you. Don't miss the continuity of this, the connecting points. A Savior was born for who? You. Who is the Messiah? That is the promised anointed one. Going all the way back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And what else does Luke say? That this Jesus is not only Messiah, this Jesus is what? Lord. If you're new to the church, what does that mean? That means God. That means Kyrios in the Greek. That means Yahweh in the Hebrew. That this baby is God. I know we believe strange things, but this is the foundation of our peace. That God Himself came down for us. Does that give you peace? No matter what's going on in your life right now, no matter what heartaches, no matter what fears, frustrations, insecurities, sufferings, weights, pressure points, God Himself, folks, came down in humility, in grace, for you. This will be the sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger. Folks, God gives signs. He gave a sign for these shepherds. And what did they do? They obeyed. They took off. They ran down to Bethlehem and they saw it with their own eyes. God's sovereignty, God's humility, God's grace, the promises of those three things, and they believed. How do I know they believed? They moved their feet. And they saw it with their own eyes. Have you seen? Let's back up. Have you experienced the peace of God yourself? If you've never experienced God's peace that surpasses what? All understanding. It's like incomprehensible. I don't know how I can be at peace, and yet I am. Because my peace isn't my peace. My peace is Christ's peace within me. It is this very presence within me that gives me peace. Well, I'll be honest. I am having surgery tomorrow morning at 9 o'clock. I'll be in the hospital for 3 to 5 days, and there's some fear when I think about it, worry about it. When I fixate on that, 3 to 6 weeks recovery, Christy at home by herself taking care of 4 monsters without me. When I fixate on that, there's worry, there's anxiety, there's fear. But I haven't been experiencing that weirdly. I'm not weirded. I'm not totally freaked out. Why? Because to be honest, my focus has just not been on that. It's been on Him. It's been on the reminder, the knowledge that He is sovereign, that He is humble, that He is gracious, that He is with me. It's where you put your eyes. It's where you put your hope. It's how you understand your relationship in this world. That He came for us in grace. Luke 1:30. In the passage just prior to this, The angel of the Lord stands before Mary and he tells her, do not be afraid. Think about all the fear she would experience. I'm pregnant? What? How is the town going to ostracize me? Will my spouse believe me? But what does he say? Mary, for you have found favor in God. Like, if you're a woman, I imagine you're like, what? Like, how is that favorable? That's a lot of stress. Going now to tell your spouse, hey, I'm pregnant, and it's not yours, it's God's. Going to tell mom and dad, hey, pretty soon I'm going to start to show it's not Joseph's, it's God's. And then as the whole town begins to see the bump, to tell the whole town, this is God's, not Joseph's. But the angel says, you have found favor with God. Why? Because she ends up giving birth to the Christ child. She ends up playing mommy for God as he grows up. I mean, sometimes we think about, you know, the disciples and how quote-unquote lucky, blessed they were that they spent 2.5 years with Jesus. Think about how much time Mary spent with God, face-to-face. But here I want to pull back the onion to the next layer just a little bit. That word favor is the word grace. For by grace you have been what? Not of your own, lest you might. Here's what we forget. Mary, there's nothing special about Mary. Nothing. Catholics put a lot of praise and exaltation on Mary. She didn't do anything. She was just a peasant girl. Maybe as young as 13, living in a small town, a nobody. Wasn't anything she did. It was God's favor coming to her, being upon her. And folks, it's the same with you. There's nothing special about you. I mean, I love all you. But there's nothing special about you, and there's nothing special about me. Salvation does not come because there's something good about us or special about us. Salvation is God's gift. That he chooses to come down, he chooses to come near. And folks, if you've experienced the Lord's peace, it's because he got up in your grill and confronted you about your sin. And as you confessed and trusted him with that sin, you experienced this peace. But he keeps coming. He keeps coming and he comes to us. First Thessalonians 1:4-5. How does he do this today? He came as a baby 2,000 years ago. How does he come to you and I today? How does he extend grace to you and I today? For we know, brothers and sisters, loved by God, that he has chosen you because our gospel did not come to you in word only. Okay? I mean, everyone has access to a Bible right now. Everyone has heard about Jesus. Like, most Americans know the name Jesus, know the tenets, he's the Son of God, he's Savior, that kind of stuff. He forgives, he's a good guy. But what does it say next? Not just the knowledge of gospel and Jesus, but he came to you not only in word, but also in power. How? In the Holy Spirit and with full assurance. There's this joy in the knowledge of the Lord loving us so much that he comes directly to us. You pointing the finger individually. Not just generically and generally and euphorically or ethereally. But he comes to you. He comes to me. The Holy Spirit, just as the Holy Spirit favored Mary. There's a fly. the Holy Spirit comes upon us in His grace, in His favor. Folks, have you experienced the peace of God? It only comes through Christ and through the Holy Spirit's work in your heart to make Christ known, for your heart to exalt Christ and to see Him for all that He is and all of His glory. That He is sovereign, that He is the humble King, that He is gracious, and last one, number four, He's Savior. That the Holy Spirit would come upon you, that God would so lovingly, graciously, kindly come to you in humility and in grace for what purpose? To save. At the end of these 20 verses, within, the last thing that we see is that this is Savior, that Jesus is Savior. How do you know God's peace? How do you have peace? It's in the knowledge that He and He alone saves. Whatever your predicament is, whatever your issue is, the Lord Jesus is a powerful, loving, gracious Savior. In Luke 2, verses 10 through 12, "Don't be afraid, for I proclaim to you the good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the city of David, a Savior was born for you." There's a Savior, folks. And His name is Jesus. Where does your peace come from? It comes from the Lord Creator, who has revealed Himself to us in the person of Christ, who has gone before us, and who has completed the work that we can't do. Where's your peace? What has prevented you from experiencing peace in this life? Check me. Listen, you have been placing your eyes on a false Savior. All that discontentment, all that dissatisfaction, all that restlessness, you've been putting your eyes on a false Savior. You've been trusting in a Savior, and that Savior hasn't delivered. That Savior can't deliver. So you are frustrated. So you are restless. So you are angry. So you are bitter. So you are hurt. So you are tired. You're exhausted. But folks, there's one Savior who brings peace, and that is Jesus. He was born for you. Not just for them and those people and Christians or people who need a crutch, but for you, for me, for us. In Luke 1:31, just finishing up here, again, the preceding passage, all this kind of ties together. But the angel's words to Mary, before the child came, listen, he says, "You will conceive, you will give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end." And then after our passage, they take him to the temple, and she gives him the name Jesus. Folks, what does the name Jesus mean? He saves. His name literally speaks to His power to save. There is a Savior, folks. His name is Jesus. His name literally means salvation. Peace. The peace of God that surpasses all understanding. Do you have it? Have you had it? Going into the craziness of the Christmas season, will you keep it? What's standing in front of you? You know, in Revelation 12, we have that picture of the dragon, Satan, standing in front of the birthing mother, Mary, with Christ coming out, Satan seeking to devour the Christ child. How is he trying to devour your peace? How have you been letting him? What's standing in the way? What's preventing you today from trusting Jesus as your peace? This morning, will you remember, will you commit, will you faith that He is sovereign? That He comes in humility, that He comes in grace, that He is Savior. Will you turn to Him once again and commit your heart to Him? Will you pray with me? Lord Jesus, we thank You for coming. We thank You that You have come. Lord, we give great praise that when You came 2,000 years ago, You did that work that we cannot do. That Your coming was for a purpose. That Your grace and Your humility was ultimately displayed on the cross for us. That all of Your grace and humility has been pictured in Your death for us, for our sins, for our waywardness, for our rebellious hearts, to turn our hearts once again to You, to provide the means through which, by which, we can have fellowship with Creator again, that we can experience Your peace. Lord, not, as Pastor Kyle said, on a global nationalistic scale. Maybe it was actually one of the kids in the Advent reading. But Lord, peace within ourselves, because we now have peace with God. We now have right relationship with the Lord through the work of the Lord. Lord, we thank You for Your grace and humility on the cross, Lord, and we thank You that You rose and that in Your resurrection You demonstrate Your sovereignty and Your salvation. Lord, that You reign, You rule, that You are the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Prince of our peace. I pray for my brothers and sisters today and all that they are going through, all that they are struggling with and even suffering in. Lord, I pray that You would reveal Yourself to each one of us once again. That You would remind us, that You would convict us. That You would call us back to Yourself to trust that peace is found only in You. May we trust in Your peace this week. And we ask this in the name of Jesus. And everybody said, Amen.